A quick note, this episode has some inappropriate language. Also, we're going to sing. You've been warned.
It's May 2014, and Beyoncé Knowles-Carter is mortified. A few days ago, she had the longest elevator ride of her life. 3.5 minutes of her sister unleashing fury on Beyoncé's hubby Jay-Z the whole way. Beyoncé values discretion. So her only consolation is that whatever went down at the Standard Hotel is between her, Solange, and Jay.
And don't forget about the stunned security guard who was with them.
Yeah. She's got to be thinking, thank God no one else saw it. Thank God no one else knows. She's worked hard to maintain privacy in her personal life for years. I mean, she keeps every photo that has ever been taken of her stored in a temperature-controlled vault. So imagine her surprise when she finds out that this video slipped through the cracks. Someone on her staff breaks the news to her. They're like, sorry, Your Highness, but the whole thing is on video. Turns out some weasel from the hotel sold the video for $250,000 to, I'll give you a hint. What are the three worst letters in the English language if you're a celebrity?
TMZ.
You got it. Beyoncé, who's usually cucumber cool, supposedly has only one word to say. Shit. She knows what's coming, and she's right. 1 week after the event, and it's all over the news, and everyone has an opinion.
The New York Daily News looked at the elevator attack involving Beyoncé's younger sister and Jay-Z.
The biggest story around the world seems to be Jay-Z being attacked in the elevator by Beyoncé's sister, Solange.
I love it, love it, love it, because at least I know there's another family that fights. Mm-hmm. I applauded. I thought it was fabulous.
Is that Sharon Osbourne, wife of Ozzy Osbourne, who has snorted ants and bit the heads off bats on stage?
It sure is.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what's so crazy about Elevator Gate? You can't even hear what they're saying. Mm-hmm. It's just a grainy, black and white, silent video. I'm surprised it caused such an uproar.
Well, I think that's partly why it did. Since you can't hear a word they're saying, you're dying to know, what the hell did Jay do to piss off Solange that badly? And what is she saying to him?
And let me guess, the tabloids have answers.
Of course they do. The New York Daily News, under the unforgettable headline, Crazy, says the fight began after Solange invited some of her non-famous friends to the party and told them to name drop Jay at the door. Mm. Jay felt used and the two of them went at it. E! News claims earlier in the evening, Jay got a little too flirty with a woman named Rachel Roy. Beyoncé said something to Rachel, Solange got involved, Jay told her to stay out of it, and then, boom. And finally, there's the Rihanna theory. It goes like this. Jay announces he wants to go to Rihanna's after party.
I thought they were already at an after party.
I guess Rihanna's throwing an after-after party.
In the hotel lobby.
Oh, yeah.
And after the party, it's the after party.
Beyoncé doesn't love the idea. It's not like she's jealous of Rihanna, but things have been weird between her and Riri ever since those rumors swirled years back that Jay and Rihanna were hooking up. So Beyoncé tells Jay she doesn't want to go to another party. She just wants to go home. And Jay supposedly says he'll just go to Rihanna's party by himself. And that's when Solange comes to her sister's defense and goes off on Jay. But at the end of the day, it's the infidelity story that sticks. Jay cheated on Beyoncé with someone, we don't know who. Solange got pissed and let her lying, cheating brother-in-law have it.
This story is legit made for the gossip pages. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. How can you cheat on the most beautiful, most talented, most everything woman in the world? Even I want to know the answer.
Well, if the rumors are true, the timing sucks. She and Jay are about to embark on a 21-show world tour. Their first ever as co-headliners. Now this tabloid scandal is raging, and people want to know, will the show go on? From Wondery, I'm Brooke Ziffrin.
And I'm Arisha Skidmore Williams.
And this is Even the Rich. In our last episode, Beyoncé fired her dadager, Matthew Knowles. And discovered she was fierce even without him. And she and Jay-Z celebrated the birth of their baby girl, Blue Ivy. Now, in the final episode of our four-part series on music's first couple, the Carters will have to navigate the most public scandal they've ever faced.
Of course, sometimes shit go down when it's $1 billion on an elevator.
Yes, it does. This is episode 4, Lemonade. Elevator gate is embarrassing. It's distracting. Beyonce and Jay-Z desperately want it to go away. It's opened the door to all sorts of speculation about whether their marriage is okay. And so, Arisha, let me ask you. What do famous people do when they're tangled up in something unsavory?
Go on Oprah.
Well, she must have been busy. So Jay-Z and Beyonce do the next best thing. They issue a carefully worded statement. Do you want to read it?
Sure. As a result of the public release of elevator security footage from Monday, May 5th, there has been a great deal of speculation about what triggered the unfortunate incident. But the most important thing is that our family has worked through it. Jay and Solange each assume their share of responsibility for what occurred. They both have apologized to each other. At the end of the day, families have problems and we're no different. We love each other, and above all, we are family. We've put this behind us and hope everyone else will do the same. So basically, go home, everything's fine.
Yep. So that should be that, right? Everyone has kissed and made up.
But it's not.
Nope. People can't stop wondering what the hell was said. The hashtag what Jay-Z said to Solange trends on Twitter, which I think is way too long of a hashtag, but
way
whatever. Even the network news reports on the scandal that refuses to die.
The first couple of music have finally broken their silence, releasing a written statement about the incident. But is it enough to stop all the buzz?
They're celebrities, so there's always speculation about every single move that they make. And that video just sort of escalated it.
Still, no end in sight. Enter Tina, Beyonce's mom, who just happens to know a thing or two about marriage problems.
Yeah, like when her ex-husband ran off with another woman, got her pregnant, lied about it, and then got served paternity papers at a gala where his daughter was accepting a Woman of the Year award.
Your memory is flawless.
I woke up like this.
Let's just say Tina's pretty much the expert on trying to keep it together in the middle of a storm. So on May 17th, she summons Jay, Beyonce, and Solange to New Orleans and takes them out for a meal at Café Amélie, a Creole restaurant in the French Quarter. They sit for hours, chatting and laughing and basically making nice. When the bill is paid and they're ready to go, the group makes its way through the restaurant's courtyard, posing for a few paparazzi photos, as they do. Ready for a little show and tell?
Always.
The photos outside the café. Here's Jay looking dapper in a blue polka dot shirt.
With the collar buttoned all the way to the top.
Yes.
Wait, did he invent that style? I never understood that look.
Here's Solange.
Wow, imagine looking that good in sunshine yellow.
Or owning those vintage-looking movie starlet sunglasses. Killer.
Right?
And last but not least, the queen herself.
Wait, is that blue ivy on her hip?
Mm-hmm.
She's so grown up.
I know. She's 2 years old now.
It's weird to see Beyonce looking so casual.
You can probably buy that maxi dress at Target.
Okay, let's not get carried away.
Okay. To me, these photos look like candid shots of a happy family.
Mm-hmm.
But to members of the media, the Knowles Carter fam looks a little too happy. Like this is some sort of phony photo op instead of, you know, people leaving a restaurant.
Yeah, that's how it always is with celebrities. We want them to be authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they are, we think they're faking it.
Yeah. So it should be the end. I mean, not much to report there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then a few months after Elevator Gate, Beyonce's dad, Matthew, makes an appearance on a radio show called That Grape Juice and brings it up again.
There's a tour going on. So you have to sometimes ignite that tour.
Like promotion of the tour.
It's called a Jedi mind trick.
Jedi mind trick.
So are you saying you put your own rules out?
Mind trick fools you a lot of times. So things you see sometimes are poof.
So do you think when Solange was hitting Jay-Z in the elevator, do you think that was all like they knew it was being recorded and they wanted it to get out there?
All I know is the Jedi mind trick. Everybody's talking about it. Ticket sales went up.
Okay, that is so cynical.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a Beyonce Jay-Z tour is going to sell out anyway.
Yeah, and it does. It kicks off with a sold-out show in Miami on June 25th, 2014. The official name is the On the Run Tour, but fans give it a different name. They call it the Save Our Marriage Tour. And of course, the tabloids glom onto it. And they may just be right. In July, 1 month after the tour begins, a source tells the New York Post that the couple is traveling with a marriage counselor. 2 weeks later, the LA Times reports that between concerts, Beyonce is apartment shopping by herself. Apparently, she checks out a sprawling New York City penthouse with a price tag of 21 mil.
So something humble.
Yeah.
A cozy place for a new beginning.
As the speculation heats up, each new story is more extreme than the last. Page Six says Jay and Beyonce are carting around four divorce lawyers.
That is their lucky number.
It is. Around the same time, The Telegraph reports that Jay and Beyonce are staying in different hotel rooms. On stage, rumors continue to swirl as Beyonce and Jay tag in and out to perform their biggest hits. People say for their duets, they don't have onstage chemistry. And there are all these weird hints and coded messages that maybe the Carters aren't exactly crazy in love anymore. Mm. Like in Ohio, Beyonce tweaks the lyrics of her song Resentment. It's about a woman who's been cheated on by her man, but instead of singing "Been riding with you for 6 years," she sings "Been riding with you for 12 years," which is how long she and Jay have been together.
Ooh.
By the way, she was dressed like a bride while she sang that song, and the crowd went nuts.
Mm.
Finally, at the very end of July, the New York Post reports that shit has gotten really bad. So bad, in fact, that people in Jay and Beyonce's inner circle are worried the first couple of hip-hop doesn't have it in them to keep performing together. They might cut their tour short.
Whoa.
On July 31st, 2014, the CEO of Live Nation and the head of HBO call an emergency meeting with Beyonce, Jay-Z, and their band of traveling lawyers. HBO is planning to film the tour's final show and air it as a concert special. It's set to take place in Paris in September. If Jay-Z and Beyonce don't make it to the City of Love, HBO won't have anything to broadcast and everyone will be out of a whole lot of money. That's all we know about the meeting. We don't know what was said or what happened at the end, but we do know the decision was made. The show must go on. 2 days later, on August 2nd, 2014, Beyonce and Jay play their biggest show of the whole tour. And imagine this. You've got a front row seat.
A front row seat?
Yeah.
Does that mean I'm moving back in with my parents after?
Yes.
Can't afford that?
Exactly.
Okay, what am I wearing?
Your wellies and a poncho because it's raining.
It's raining in LA in August?
Yeah, it's a freak storm, but you don't care.
I don't care.
No, because the Jumbotron behind the stage fires up and there's a video of two sexy people doing sexy things. Dangerous sexy things.
That is a lot of sexy for a concert. Yeah. Good thing I'm wearing that poncho.
Gotta have protection when things get sexy.
That's a lesson, kids. Write that down.
So it's a black and white montage of Beyonce and Jay-Z being outlaws. They're peeling away in hot cars, fondling guns.
As outlaws do.
Exactly. Then Beyonce starts talking over the video. It sounds like a voicemail. She says, "Hey, baby, can you call me back? I miss you. I need some gangsta shit." A few seconds later, Jay's voice comes over the PA, riling up the crowd with his trademark, And then the music starts. It's 03 Bonnie and Clyde, the first song they ever recorded together.
Ugh, I love that song.
Yeah, same. And with that, the first couple of hip-hop takes the stage. Jay is wearing an American flag t-shirt under a black tuxedo jacket. Beyonce's rocking this leather bodysuit with a fishnet ski mask like she's the flyest bank robber of all time.
Mm-hmm.
After their duet, Beyonce launches into a few solo songs, Upgrade You, and then Crazy in Love. And she's everything you'd expect her to be.
Yeah, her choreography is on point. Her outfits are on point.
Yes.
Perfect pitch.
Oh, yeah. And an army of backup dancers.
Ugh, I would love to be a backup anything on Beyonce's tour.
Like a backup stage cleaner?
Yep. Backup stage cleaner, backup vomit collector, anything.
Yes. After two songs, she disappears into the wings, and now it's Jay's turn. His first song is a Kanye cover. He prowls back and forth on the stage, moving through a few songs, spitting lines from classics like Big Pimpin' and Dirt Off Your Shoulder.
Okay, I love Jay. Don't get me wrong, ladies is pimps too. Go and brush your shoulders off.
Yes.
But when does Beyonce come back?
Yeah, she's definitely a tough act to follow with her huge production numbers.
Yeah.
No one can quite rile up a crowd like her.
Yeah, okay, can we take a second and agree that Beyonce is the greatest performer of all time?
Yeah, of course we can.
Okay, I'm going to sign this document and pass it over to you.
Send it to my lawyer. It doesn't help that a lot of songs Jay's singing are like 15 years old. The crowd's attention kind of starts to flag. Until Beyonce bursts back onto the stage.
Oh, yeah, she does.
The night goes on like this. The two of them play tag team dodgeball. They only do three duets.
Mm.
And people start to think it's weird how little time they spend on stage together. And then there's some other clues that things may not be paradise on the run. Like when Jay asks the audience if there are any sexy girls out there. or when Beyonce changes the lyrics of Resentment to 12 Years Again.
Yeah, it's hard to tell if they're just trying to get a rise out of the audience because everyone knows shit is messy between them, mm-hmm. or if they're just airing their dirty laundry because they're genuinely pissed at each other.
But then, towards the end of the show, they switch gears. Beyonce sings Love on Top as this triumph. And then the night ends with home videos on the Jumbotron. Jay and Beyonce's wedding, shots of them on vacation and playing with Blue.
You know, normally I hate when people make me sit down and watch all of their videos and pictures from vacation.
Yeah.
But if I was actually at this concert watching this, I would sit down for a good 24 hours straight watching it. It'd okay. be so good to watch.
Well, that's, you're going to have to watch it over and over again a lot for 24 hours.
I would do it.
Okay. They're like in this limbo, right. not ready to own up to anything publicly, but also not ready to walk away.
Or are they reclaiming the narrative, trying to make it their own?
That is possible, too.
I do have to say, this was the best concert I've never been to. Now, can I have a towel?
No. When the tour wraps up, no one knows what's coming next. And as it turns out, the fans won't be disappointed. Because Beyonce is already busy on her next album. One that will answer a lot of fans' questions and raise some new ones along the way. The title of the record provides some clues. When life gives you lemons,
you make lemonade.
The album, not the beverage.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Okay. Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank?
Literally always.
Okay. Well, the new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look, and it comes in luxe gold packaging. It feels incredibly high-end, but it is a lot more affordable.
Oh, yeah. The Panorama Mascara lives up to its name by giving your lashes panoramic volume and a fully fanned-out look. Its tapered mascara wand catches every single lash, including those hard-to-reach corner lashes. When I do wear makeup, I do the bare minimum, and that's usually eyeliner and mascara and lip gloss. Yeah. And so mascara has to really pop.
Yes.
And let me tell you, L'Oreal, this baby pops.
Yeah. I do love the packaging. Like, I'm all about that.
So if you're looking for an affordable mascara that gives you voluminous, lengthened lashes, you can buy the Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
So as a listener of Even the Rich, you know that audio piques the imagination, which is why we're so excited for Audible's new collection of exclusive thrillers. They feature captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances that really bring the story to life.
Oh, yeah. The next listen on my list is the psychological thriller, The Silent Patient.
Ooh.
So it's all about a therapist who tries to unravel the mystery of a woman who refuses to talk or give any explanation as to why she shot her husband. I mean, it's going to be the perfect binge listen. And you know, I love my thrillers.
I can agree. And as an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog.
Yeah, new members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/eventherich or text Even the Rich to 500-500.
That's audible.com/eventherich or text Even the Rich to 500-500 to get started. As soon as the Save Our Marriage tour ends in September of 2014, Jay-Z starts looking for his next business venture.
Wait, was the tour successful?
It grossed over $100 million.
No, I mean, did it save their marriage?
Oh, who knows? When it's done, they're still together, but they are busy with their own projects. Jay's trying to redeem himself as a self-proclaimed business man. A couple of his recent investments have been, how do I put this nicely, duds. Like, remember his Facebook game empire?
No.
Yeah, neither do I. Actually, no one does, because no one played it. I had to look it up, but I gotta say the premise was kind of cool. Players got to raise an avatar from hustler to entrepreneur to business mogul.
So you win the game by being Jay-Z?
Yeah, pretty much.
I'd play it.
Unfortunately, it never caught on. Ditto his Vegas nightclub and the casino he wanted to build in New York. Now, as anyone who's ever played Empire knows, which was no one, no mogul bats a thousand.
But no one likes losing money either.
Jay needs something on the level of founding Rockaware or buying that champagne label. Something that's equal parts lucrative and attention-grabbing. Finally, he lands on the answer. Music.
One of the greatest musicians of our time decides he's going to do what he's always done?
Not quite. He doesn't want to make music. He wants to distribute it. For a while now, Jay's been stewing on the business side of music. CDs are long dead, obviously.
R.I.P.
And now streaming music has replaced downloads. And like most of his musical peers, he's frustrated by how poorly they pay artists. Take Spotify, for example. It pays musicians 1/10 of a cent every time someone listens to a song.
That's not very much.
You may remember that Taylor Swift didn't even let Spotify have her music for years because she was so pissed about this.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
Yeah, but for Jay, it's not the money. He's worth $500 million. He doesn't need those Spotify royalties. It's the principle of the whole thing. And now he wants to do something about it. He tries to partner with the streaming services, but he can't come to a deal. So he does the same thing he did when he was pissed at that champagne company. He buys his own. It's a Norwegian startup called Tidal, and it cost him a cool 56 mil.
Chump change for Jay-Z.
But he's not going to stop there. He has a vision. He wants to remake it into a new kind of streaming platform, one that puts artists first. A subscription model where artist royalties will be 4 times higher than what they are at the other streamers. Tidal is an underdog in the world of streaming music. Pandora and Spotify have a huge head start. Now Jay's got to convince music fans that instead of using Spotify for free, they should pay for Tidal. He needs something that no one else has. And in February 2015, he gets an idea. On a sunny winter's day, he gathers a bunch of music celebrities at an event space in Los Angeles. It's like a who's who of what's happening in music. Calvin Harris, Nicki Minaj, Rihanna, Madonna, and of course, Beyonce and Jay-Z. Despite the turmoil in their marriage, they're putting on a unified front. Jay sits everyone down at a long table and explains how Tidal is going to be different.
Right now, they're writing a story for us. We need to write the story for ourselves.
Jay makes his pitch. He's going to give everyone at the table 3% ownership of Tidal in exchange for exclusive rights to special content like music videos and songs that will only be available on Tidal. It'll be a revolutionary approach, if it works. On March 30th, 2015, Tidal holds its official kickoff press conference. 17 of the biggest artists in the world parade single file across the stage. It's a lot of the same faces from the Knights of the Roundtable meeting a few weeks ago. Kanye, Madonna, Beyonce, Jay-Z, plus a few new faces like deadmau5, Alicia Keys, and the dudes from Arcade Fire. Once they're all assembled, Alicia Keys goes up to the podium.
Because we believe that Friedrich Nietzsche couldn't have been more right when he said, without music, life would be a mistake.
I love Alicia, obviously, basically the same name. But I mean, come on, they're launching an app.
Things get even weirder after that. One by one, the artists walk up to the table in the middle of the stage and sign a mysterious piece of paper. Is it a pact that this service will put artists first? Is it a belated birthday card for Blue Ivy? No one really knows. Maybe they see it as some sort of historical moment that requires an extra special flourish. When Beyonce writes her name, she blows her signature a kiss. As Madonna's signing, she swings her leg on top of the table like she's mounting a horse. And Daft Punk signs wearing their full-on space gear.
You know, fun fact about this, this is exactly how the men who signed the Declaration of Independence did it.
Yeah, they're just reenacting
they
that whole thing.
They kissed, they swung their legs around a horse. And there were guys in space gear, which is so weird because space didn't exist back
then.
Exactly.
Time travelers. Finally, a song starts playing. Kind of these discordant horns. And the artists just stand there for 2 straight minutes. Not dancing or singing. They're literally just standing there until the lights go off on the stage. And the biggest pop stars in the world have to find their way off in the dark.
I'm just picturing them like falling and like stumbling like, shit, ouch, Alicia, get off my fucking leg.
The Telegraph calls it the most pompous event in the history of music. Time says the whole thing shows Jay-Z is really out of touch.
Ugh, ouch.
Yeah. Between the bad press and Tidal's $19.99 a month price tag, it's probably not surprising that the service gets off to a rocky start. 1 month after the launch, fewer than 300,000 people have signed up. Wall Street types are saying Jay is learning a hard truth, that his celebrity has limits. The New York Times reports that Tidal is headed for oblivion.
Not a great year overall for Jay.
But Jay doesn't give up. One of Tidal's selling points is that it will feature exclusive music from the artists behind it. If Jay can get a big name artist to put an album exclusively on Tidal before it's available anywhere else, maybe it'll help drive up the app subscription numbers.
I see what's coming.
Beyonce. After wrapping the On the Run tour, Beyonce gets back in the studio making her new album. She started working on it when the tour started. It was going to be a collaboration with Jay. They were trying to repair their relationship. They thought it would be like a therapy session, this safe harbor where they could work through all the hurt and mistrust. But the more time they spent working on it, the clearer it became that there were things Beyonce needed to say on her own. She had all these potent feelings of anger and emptiness that she wanted to get out. She wanted the record to be hers and hers alone. Her voice, her venting. And Jay agreed.
I mean, what else are you going to say to the queen?
Yes, ma'am. Beyoncé handpicks around 100 songwriters, musicians, and producers to help bring her vision to life. It's the first time she's truly calling all her own shots, collaging ideas from all over the place. Like the song from the Yeah Yeah Yeahs that morphs into a different version by Vampire Weekend, who mashes it up with an Andy Williams song, whose producer, Diplo, decides it's perfect for Beyoncé. Except it's not. Beyoncé sees something there, but the verse isn't right. So she hires a folk singer named Father John Misty to write something new. Still not right, so she brings in a British producer to add a new bridge.
Okay, my head is spinning.
The final song is Hold Up. Before it's done, Beyoncé will tinker with the lyrics herself. The Vampire Weekend guy's line, "There's no other God above you, what a wicked way to treat the man who loves you," becomes, "Can't you see there's no other man above you? What a wicked way to treat the girl that loves you."
Damn. All of a sudden, it's a song about Jay stepping out on her.
That happens a lot on this record. Beyoncé doesn't give specific instructions to the songwriter she hires, but the songs they end up writing speak to the discord between her and Jay. As one of her collaborators would later say, "Sometimes the artist doesn't say what's in their heart. Sometimes you have to reach out and touch the artist." The album that begins to emerge is easily the boldest of Beyoncé's long career. The songs tackle everything from adultery and marital strife to race and history.
And Jay's there for all of it?
Yeah. She plays everything for him, getting his feedback. It's got to be hard listening to your wife laying out all her anger and frustration with you, but Jay knows how important it is for Beyoncé to express herself honestly through her music.
I still don't know what Jay did exactly to Beyoncé, and side note, I'll never forgive him for it, but that is pretty cool of him.
And if they take Beyoncé's album and drop it exclusively on Tidal, it just might be the thing to save not just their marriage, but also his latest business venture.
Life is busier than ever. It might be harder to find time these days to grocery shop, prep, and cook healthy and hearty meals. I get it. But Factor's got you covered.
Yeah, so Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, delivered right to your door, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
Exactly. And Factor is tailored to your schedule. You can customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. If you're traveling or still finishing up last week's meals, you can always pause or reschedule deliveries.
I mean, I know I've talked before about how much I love Factor because it's just so easy.
And it doesn't taste like, you know, the microwavable yes. meals you see, especially in rom-coms when we're trying to heighten and highlight how sad and pathetic this woman's life is.
Yeah.
They don't taste like that. They taste so good as if you made them yourself or hired a chef. Head to factormeals.com/rich50 and use code rich50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box. That's code rich50 at factormeals.com/rich50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency. And in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories. Promo code IFSTORIES10 to get your magnesium breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/IFSTORIES. Promo code IFSTORIES10.
Lemonade drops on April 23rd, 2016, and it's only available to stream on Tidal, which means if fans want to hear the album where Beyoncé chews out her husband, then they'll have to pay $20 a month to subscribe to the service that Jay-Z owns. But if you can get over the irony, it's worth it, because this album is different. Beyoncé sings about her marriage, about Jay-Z cheating, and about how jealous she gets of his mistresses. But on top of that, she's also singing about her Black, Southern, and Creole heritage, about police brutality and the damage slavery caused to the African-American nuclear family. She films a movie to go with her album that premieres on HBO. The whole project is epic. Right away, people lose their minds.
I mean, we know she processes her emotions through music.
Yeah.
On this record, it sounds like she's figuring out what went wrong with Jay by going all the way back to the very beginning. It's genius.
Yeah, that's exactly the theme of the album. It's her most personal work yet. And it starts a national conversation about who exactly Jay was cheating with.
Becky with the good hair, a.k.a. the most hated woman in the world.
Yes. Better call Becky with the good hair is a lyric. I know, it's great, right?
Beyonce?
Yeah, I'm here. That's a lyric in a song where she threatens to leave him for good. The internet goes nuts trying to figure out who Becky is. The album debuts at number one on the Billboard 200.
I feel like that's got to be so weird for Jay. I mean, his wife has the biggest, most critically acclaimed album of her career, and it's all about what a bad guy he is?
Well, it's complicated. First of all, Jay was a big part of the recording process, so it's not like it was a surprise. And then he helped her put it out on his streaming service. And Tidal's success rests on Lemonade's success. But it turns out it's not as helpful as Jay had hoped. While the album sells a ton of copies on non-streaming platforms like iTunes, it doesn't give Tidal the lift Jay wanted. Yes, Lemonade helps boost its numbers, but they'll fall again almost right away.
So it sounds like Jay needs Beyoncé more than Beyoncé needs him now. Oh, how the turntables have turned.
Nice. Jay's still a star, but he's not a big enough star to get people to pay $20 a month to stream music when they can do it for free on Spotify.
Yeah.
Tidal never turns around. And then people start to say Jay's stale, he's tired, and he's a cheater. He's using his wife's success as a crutch. And now his latest business venture is failing too. Lemonade's eventually available everywhere, and Beyoncé's suddenly at the peak of her career. Of course, Lemonade wins Grammys.
Of course.
But this isn't just a pop album. This is high art. It even wins a Peabody Award, which is one of the most prestigious awards in media.
And I gotta say, another thing that stands out about this album, Beyoncé, pop star, is fully embracing her identity as a Black woman.
Mm-hmm.
She talks about race. She talks about ladies getting into formation.
Oh my God, I love that song.
Right? I mean, she's got hot sauce in her bag. Brooke, Beyoncé keeps hot sauce in her bag.
Yeah.
And Jay was getting more vocal about race, too.
Yeah.
He became really outspoken about the case against the rapper Meek Mill, which I'm sure you remember.
Yes.
He got sentenced to jail time for a small parole violation. Mm-hmm. It's just so cool that they're both sitting in these positions of extreme influence and they're not afraid to speak out for what they believe in.
Yes. Jay, meanwhile, is still getting crushed by the media for being a cheater.
Mm.
And now that the album is out, it seems all the cheating rumors were true. Honestly, I know this is terrible, but I don't feel sorry for him at all.
No, he's a cheater.
Yeah. But to his credit, he doesn't spend a lot of time feeling sorry for himself either. But it's clear he's doing his own soul searching. He's been going to therapy, thinking about what is important to him. He's more reflective in interviews. He apologizes to Beyoncé. And soon he'll...
Hang on.
What?
You're about to start talking about how they turned a corner. It's all good between them now, right?
I don't know. Am I?
Okay. Before you go any further, I need to know.
Okay.
Who was Becky with the good hair?
You're not going to believe this. Nobody knows.
What? You mean you don't have the answer?
Well, all signs point to Rachel Roy.
The woman Solange supposedly caught Jay flirting with at the Met Gala.
Yes. And here's the clue. After Lemonade drops, Rachel tweets a photo of herself with the caption, "Good hair, don't care."
Oh, shit.
Which is enough to convince the Beehive and every tabloid on the planet that she's the woman Jay was seeing. Okay. Can we turn the corner now and let Beyoncé and Jay just start making amends?
Yes, I'll allow it.
Okay, great. Because Beyoncé is pregnant for the second time with twins.
Rumi and Sir.
Yes. She's due in June of 2017. But during the pregnancy, she gets really sick.
Mm.
She suffers from preeclampsia and toxemia. She's on bed rest for a month.
Ugh.
And then the delivery is super scary. She has to get an emergency C-section after one of the baby's heart stops. But they both end up healthy. And then right after the twins are born, Jay channels his soul searching into music just like Beyoncé did with Lemonade. He calls his album 444. It's also the name of the title track. That's the time Jay says he woke up and first recorded the lyrics using Beyoncé's microphone. The song is a straight-up mea culpa.
I mean, it's a powerful song.
Yeah.
It starts with a woman wailing like a blues song. Why do I keep running away? Mm-hmm. And then Jay starts rapping. Look, I apologize, often womanize. Took for my child to be born, see through a woman's eyes. Took for these natural twins to believe in miracles. Took me too long for this song. I don't deserve you.
Sounds like we've gone above Queen B to Queen A. It's a record inspired by his love for Beyoncé and all the mistakes he's made. It's an apology and an homage. And it's also a confession. He raps about his cheating and about his relationship with his mom. And just like Beyoncé, he uses music to try to figure out where things went wrong and how to fix them.
Yeah, I mean, the lyrics. And if my children knew, I don't even know what I would do. If they ain't look at me the same, I would probably die with all the shame.
Yes. This album is Jay saying to Beyoncé, I'm sorry, and look at how far we've come.
For the first time, he's not on the defensive. Good for him.
Yeah. In a promo interview, he even talks about the mistakes he made with Tidal.
Like that terrible press conference, you know what I'm saying? Like, I would never do that again, you know? Right. The launch of the,
right,
the
title thing. Launch,
you know what I'm saying? Like, it's things like that that I've done wrong that
what,
I wouldn't
what was
do
wrong
again.
About that?
I don't think it was wrong.
I think it, I thought it was wrong. I thought it was like a bunch of big artists complaining about money. I got the company. And it had my name on it. You know, I wanted to be about all the owners. So I tried to rush that, and it came out on a bad note. As opposed to saying, you know, just let it be what it's going to be. And that was a powerful lesson for me. Like, no matter what, I'm not, don't let anyone rush your process.
Say what you will about Jay, it's kind of amazing to hear someone that successful admit he got something wrong.
Yeah. And after a decade of ups and downs, the Knowles Carter marriage seems to be legitimately on solid ground. Mm-hmm. They decide what better way to celebrate than to head back out on tour together.
Ugh, I hope it's easier than the last one. It sounded so awkward.
Very awkward. And the second tour definitely deals openly with all of that.
Mm.
It's a do-over. So fittingly, they're calling it On the Run 2.
Can you imagine being in that pitch meeting for the name of the tour?
They're like, screw it. Let's just add a two. Like let's get out of here.
Genius!
We got dinner. So the first dates are in early June of 2018. The shows start with Beyoncé on stage alone, singing her song I Care about trying to save the relationship. Then Jay-Z descends to the stage in an elevator.
I see what they did there.
Clever. He's rapping pieces of 444, and over the course of the show, they're both more vulnerable than they've ever been. They lay it all out there, and their fans eat it up. The tour will go on to gross $250 million.
Wow.
Yeah. But even more exciting, at the end of the show in London, Beyoncé tells fans that she has a surprise for them. She leaves the stage, and a music video starts playing on the Jumbotron. It's a new song. A new collaboration between Jay and Beyoncé. It's called Ape Shit, and fans are hearing it for the first time.
I love that song.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my God, the video.
Yes.
They take over the freaking Louvre in Paris, which, having been to the Louvre and not being able to take pictures of the Mona Lisa, it's insane that they could do that.
That was a sad brag.
Whatever. Anyway, Beyoncé's rapping in head-to-toe MCM leather. Mm. Jay-Z just gives her the spotlight and lets her shine.
Yes.
I mean, who gets to shut down the most famous museum in the world to shoot a music video? Clearly only Beyoncé and Jay-Z.
Exactly. When the video ends, a message flashes on the screen. Album out now. And that's how the Carters let the world know that their first album as a duo is available on Tidal. It's called Everything is Love. Those songs they started writing together a few years back before Beyoncé realized she needed to make an album alone, they finished them. A fitting end to their saga.
I bet nobody's doubting their marriage anymore.
Here's Jay talking to Van Jones on CNN about how they got there.
What is it about this marriage that's so special that you would fight this hard to save it?
It's my soulmate. It's the person I love. You can be in love with someone. You can love someone. And if you haven't experienced love and you don't understand it and you don't have the tools to move forward, then you're gonna have complications, period. And if you can either address it or you can pretend until it blows up at some point. And, you know, for us, we chose to fight for our love, for our family, to give our kids a different outcome. It's hard, it's very difficult. You just have to be strong enough. You have to be strong enough to go through that, because on the other side, it's beautiful, you know, in our case.
Oh, on the other side, it is beautiful.
Yeah.
They're not just Beyoncé and Jay-Z anymore. They're the Carters. I mean, think about it. It's pretty impossible now to even imagine one without the other.
Yeah, definitely. That merger everybody said was happening when they married has finally been negotiated. They've chosen each other. Jay-Z gets to be the father and the family man he lost when his own dad disappeared. Beyonce gets to have the family she lost when Matthew cheated. They're helping to heal each other's wounds, even the ones that they caused each other. And they've revolutionized the music industry.
Yeah, except for Tidal. Jay took an L on that one.
It's really harsh. And Tidal's still out there, but it'll never be Spotify. It has its devoted fans, though. And Jay is definitely not hurting. Because in 2019, Jay-Z officially becomes a billionaire. The Forbes 400 puts him on the cover next to an 80-year-old Warren Buffett. If that's not a sign he's a real business man, then I don't know what is.
And I'd argue they couldn't have done it without each other.
Oh, for sure. Beyonce and Jay-Z need each other. We've watched them figure out messy shit in their life, get past it, grow together, and become something bigger than just themselves. In fact, Arisha, I think there's a song that fits this occasion perfectly. Do you want to take us out?
Well, twist my arm, why don't you? This is what we thankful for.
This is what we thank.
I can't believe we made it.
This a different angle.
You ever seen the crowd going ape shit?
Rawr. I'm gonna miss this.
From Wondery, this is the final episode of our four-part series, Jay-Z and Beyonce, American Royalty. Next episode, we'll be talking to Zachary O'Malley Greenberg about his book, Empire State of Mind, How Jay-Z Went from Street Corner to Corner Office.
I hope he gives us tips on how to trademark our very own colors.
And then I'm going to take the mic because boy, do I have a story for you. What happens when an heir to one of the greatest family fortunes of all time is kidnapped and no one wants to pay his ransom?
Kicking my feet up for this one. We use many sources when researching our stories, like Vanity Fair and the New York Times. But we especially recommend the books Becoming Beyonce by Randy Tarabarelli, Empire State of Mind by Zachary O'Malley Greenberg, and Jay-Z's autobiography, Decoded. I'm Brooke Ziffrin.
And I'm Arisha Skidmore-Williams. This episode was written by Sarah Labrie. Our associate producer is Caleb Bissinger. Sound design by Marcelino Villalpando. Our executive producers are Stephanie Jens, Marsha Louie, and Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.